Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
To be strong, to be lies, know the joy.
We're back. It's 12 after. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and my website is www.jbsba.com. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter. When you get a chance, you can do it right there at my website, jbsba.com. You know, Labor Day began as an idea in the mind of one person who cared greatly for a very important segment of the marketplace. But who that person was who thought about Labor Day has been debated for more than 100 years. Some records indicate that it was a machinist and Central Labor Union official, Matthew McGuire. McGuire is reputed to have first suggested a Labor Day to honor the working man. There are other references to a guy named Peter McGuire, no relation, by the way. They spell their name differently. Who's the co-founder of the American Federation of Labor. Some people think he is the father of Labor Day. McGuire is said to have first proposed the honoring of quote, those who from rude nature have delved and carved all the grandeur we behold, end quote. Regardless of the paternity of a day honoring those who labor, such a day was first celebrated on Tuesday, September 5th, 1882, in New York City, by members of the CLU who took an unpaid day off to demonstrate solidarity and, of course, have picnics. The event was repeated a year later as the CLU urged labor organizations in other cities to celebrate a working man's holiday on the first Monday in September. The idea caught on and spread quickly. New York introduced the first government bill for an official Labor Day, but Oregon beat them to the punch in terms of such a day being signed into law. And by 1890, more than two dozen states had adopted an official Labor Day. But if it hadn't been for a major Labor Day strike, a major labor strike, I should say, and the self-interest of politicians, who knows how long it would have been before Labor Day became a federal holiday. In 1894, that was an election year, was also the year of an ugly strike, which was waged by employees of the Pullman Company, which, as you may know, the Pullman Company made railroad cars. You remember that. In 1880, founder of that company, George Pullman, built a utopian town around his factory in Illinois, and he called it, yep, you're right, Pullman, Illinois. Hard by to Chicago, Pullman, Illinois was a real company town, company store, company housing, even a company bank upon which Pullman employee payroll checks were drawn, and from which checks company store provisions and rent for company housing was deducted. Everything operated with almost utopian efficiency until 1893, when a national depression caused orders for Pullman cars to drop to such a level that some Pullman employees had to accept pay cuts, and some were laid off. This 19th century downsizing produced a real can of worms, as you can imagine. For example, how do you deduct company housing rent from an employee's payroll check when there isn't one? The subsequent strike was so ugly that President Grover Cleveland declared it a federal crime and deployed 12,000 troops to break it up. The strike ended on August 3rd, 1894, but not before significant property damage occurred, plus two people were killed and many were jailed. With 1894 being an election year, President Cleveland and Congress needed to make amends with the working class for their heavy-handedness. Consequently, legislation was rushed through both houses at a record speed. In fact, just 6 days after U.S. troops had broken the strike, Cleveland's signature made the first Monday in September Labor Day, a federal holiday, including the District of Columbia and all the territories, which there were quite a few still at that time. So Labor Day, after 6 days, that was clearly a record of getting a bill through Congress. But they were motivated, and now in In 1898, Samuel Gompers, then the head of the American Federation of Labor, called Labor Day, quote, the day for which the toilers in past centuries looked forward, when their rights and their wrongs would be discussed, that the workers of our day may not only lay down their tools of labor for a holiday, but upon which they may touch shoulders in marching phalanx and feel the stronger for it, end quote. Alas, entrepreneurs aren't as organized as our union brethren. We're just not as pushy. And that's the reason that I think we don't have a National Small Business Day, which I think is a shame. It's the reason is probably because we're not as pushy as our brethren are, and because we're too busy paying for national holidays for our employees. There is no single small business day officially decreed by the U.S. government. No Entrepreneur's Day set aside to honor those who do so much for so many. A day when everyone gets off to picnic and party down in honor of the real heroes of the marketplace. And you know who I think that is, small business owners. There actually is a Small Business Week. The U.S. Small Business Administration picks a week each year. Usually it's in May. As you know, I report from that seven times in a row. I've reported from this National Small Business Week at the U.S. Small Business Administration soiree. And they do that to recognize those who are chosen at the state levels, those companies who are each state's creme de la creme of entrepreneurs in America. Plus, like the unofficial Labor Day events of the 1880s, there are small business weeks conducted unofficially on a national level, but officially locally by chambers of commerce in cities across the country. But those dates are random, and those festivities are parochial. But those are the festivities that give rise to the winners of each state, and then ultimately the Small Business Person of the Year. Each community selects their own Small Business Person of the Year, who then sort of competes on a state level. And then all 50 plus of those, including Guam and Puerto Rico, go to the national event, the national SBA event. That's how all that happens. I'm going to take a quick break. And when we come back, I'm going to talk about what it would take to actually create an official Small Business Day. 20 after. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I'll be right back. We're back. 23 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I'm leading up to what it would take to have a real National Entrepreneurs Day. If we're ever going to have one of those, we'll have to convince the government. And as you know, that's easier said than done. Small business has many champions in Congress, but there's way too much indifference, there's way too much disregard, and in some cases, incredibly, blatant disrespect and even some disdain by politicians. See, I know it's hard to believe, but there are politicians who disrespect and have disdain for those of us who sign the front of over 70 million paychecks every Friday. Ask a politician to get excited about a small business in his or her district who might be getting an award, and you might get a favorable response. But you might not. And you can trust me on that one. I speak from experience, from years of experience. But if you want to be in the one place where you know you can find a member of a congressional delegation, check the district Labor Day celebrations. The only thing more guaranteed than picnics and barbecue on Labor Day is the appearance of the members of the political class as they kiss babies, glad hand, and generally suck up to the leaders and the rank-and-file members of local unions. Today, unions represent less than 14% of all U.S. workers, and that's a 60-year low. Small businesses, on the other hand, number in the tens of millions, and our numbers are increasing by almost 1 million per year. We currently represent over 98% of all businesses, create over 55% of all new innovations in America, employ over 60% of all workers, and this is a big number here, folks. Small businesses produce over half of the 10.3, almost, I think some people said this year it'll be $11 trillion United States gross domestic product, over half of the economy of the U.S. Plus, as I said, we pay for over 70 million workers to take Labor Day off. So, let's see. Big deal on Labor Day, no Entrepreneurs Day. What's wrong with that picture? I was thinking about initiating a movement to create a National Entrepreneurs Day. First, we'd have to propose and pass it through Congress. Then it had to be signed into law by the president. That would require convincing 270 people, which is a majority in the House and the Senate, plus the press, that an Entrepreneurs Day is a good idea. That's no hill for a climber, right? And we're climbers. But then my small business genes kicked in, and I remembered that every national holiday is a double whammy for small businesses. A lost day of company productivity with payroll expense. Even if I could motivate politicians with something like a Pullman strike and get a new national day off to honor small businesses, it actually would become a financial burden on those who I would want to be recognized. So, what's the answer? Here it is. Let's celebrate Entrepreneurs Day in a day no other national holiday has ever been established, on a Sunday. Actually, the second Sunday in August. I chose Sunday because that would create, in my opinion, the least amount of payroll problems. I chose August because that's the month in the year when Congress is in recess and all politicians return to their home district, as I said earlier. This way, they can practice their sucking up to us. They can practice on us in preparation for all the sucking up that they do on Labor Day. Isn't that a great idea? I think we ought to try that. I'm gonna work on that this next year. So, and finally, to paraphrase the 1898 words of Samuel Gompers, small business owners on that day would deserve that day, for which the signers of paychecks in past centuries looked forward when their rights and their wrongs would be discussed, that the small employer of our day may not only lay down their cash flow statements for a holiday, but upon which they may touch shoulders in marching phalanx and feel the stronger for it. What do you think, small business owners? Don't you think we deserve a day? Not a day off, because again, if we take a day off, that costs us a lot of money. It costs us payroll. We already have to pay for Labor Day, right? But just a day when the world stops for a moment and says, hey, small business owners, you're pretty special. When the church bells ring and the flags are raised just a little bit higher because it's Small Business Day. When you and I can walk around maybe with our chest out just a little bit more and our chins just a little bit higher. And when people see us and they know we're small business owners, they look at us and they say, yeah, there goes one of America's heroes. This is their day. Well done, my friend. How about that? That's my idea. I'm sticking to it. I may do something about that one of these days. 29 after. Stay with me. I'll be right back with Bob Dylan Schneider, one of the best minds in our brain trust. He and I will be talking about some more of these issues on this great Labor Day right after these messages. This show is brought to you by IBM and Office Depot.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.